I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God is the answer to everything that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols, pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being like, knowing the right people, and an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. All these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure body identification. They are songs of praise to the ego. Do not put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. The love of God will lift you out of every trial. The love of God would raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of the Son of God. Don't put your faith in illusions. Illusions will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you. It's eternal, it's changeless, it's forever unfailing. Putting your faith in the love of God within you is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today. Through the love of God within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Through the love of God within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Through the love of God within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort. Through the love of God within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort. Through the love of God within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today. It's a declaration of release from the belief in idols. It's your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. Let this idea, I am sustained by the love of God, sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it, I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it, let related thoughts come to you to help you to recognize that it's true. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb the holy mind of the Son of God. That's the kingdom of heaven. Let no idle thoughts come in to disturb your mind. That's the resting place where your Father has placed you forever. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God.
Sustained by the love of God. You are sustained. are sustained by the love of God. We are sustained by the love of God. We are sustained by the love of God.
Tonight we're going to talk about what is the real meaning of sacrifice. It's on page 33 in the teacher's manual. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Sometimes when I read this, I feel like a flight attendant on the... like everybody be like... you know, but they have to go through the grill every time, even though everybody just... okay. But when we crash and you're with you at a listen, and you crash it and you're like, you know, when you're hearing this and you're going, what the hell is he talking about? You know, you're freaking out. You'll be glad you heard this. I'll say it again. You know, you need not, okay. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. And others may seem to be quite startling. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that they're true. So I'm going to read through it, and then I'm going to go back through it, and we're going to see if we can get some more insight into how to give ourselves complete peace so that we can hear the voice of our own inner guidance. So if you got the books, just follow along with me, and I'm going to go through the entire section. What is the real meaning of sacrifice? Although in truth the term sacrifice is altogether meaningless, the term sacrifice does have meaning in the world. Like all things in the world, the meaning of sacrifice is temporary and will ultimately fade into the nothingness from which it came when there is no more use for it. Now the real meaning of sacrifice is a lesson. Like all lessons, it is an illusion. Every lesson is an illusion, for in reality there is nothing to learn. Yet this illusion of sacrifice, this illusion must be replaced by a corrective device. And a corrective device is another illusion that replaces the first so that both can finally disappear. One illusion is replaced by another illusion so that both may finally disappear. What is the first illusion which must be displaced before another thought system can take hold? It is that it's a sacrifice to give up things of this world. What could giving up things of this world be but an illusion, since the world itself is nothing more than that? It takes great learning both to realize and to accept the fact that the world has nothing to give. What can the sacrifice of nothing mean? The sacrifice of nothing cannot mean that you have less because of it. There is no sacrifice in the world's terms that doesn't involve the body. There is no sacrifice in the world's terms that doesn't involve the body. Think about what the world calls sacrifice. Think a while about what the world calls sacrifice. Power, fame, money, physical pleasure? Who is the hero to whom power, fame, money, and physical pleasure belong? Could power, fame, money, physical pleasure, could they mean anything except to a body? Yet a body cannot evaluate. So by seeking after power, fame, money, physical pleasure in and of itself, the mind associates itself with the body, obscuring its identity, losing sight of what it really is. Now we're about to go into that phase of the course where you hear me saying English, but you don't know what the hell I'm saying. Watch. Watch. That's how much the resistance. The resistance to what's being said may get so great that you're going to hear me calling words, but you will swear you don't know what I'm saying. Watch. I go back to the sentence that says, power, fame, money, physical pleasure, who is the hero to whom all these things belong? Could they mean anything except to a body? Yet a body cannot evaluate. So by seeking after power, fame, money, and physical pleasure, the mind associates itself with the body, obscuring the mind's identity and losing sight of what it really is. But once you have lost sight of who you really are, once this confusion has occurred, it becomes impossible for the mind to understand that all the so-called pleasures of the world are nothing. But what a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice indeed, all this entails. Now has the mind condemned itself to seek without finding, to be forever dissatisfied and discontented, to know not what it really wants to find. Who can escape this self-condemnation? Only through God's word could this escape from this self-condemnation be possible. For self-condemnation is a decision about identity, and no one doubts what he believes he is. You can doubt all things, but never what you believe you are. God's teachers, a demonstrator of truth, can have no regret on giving up the so-called pleasures of the world. Is it a sacrifice to give up pain? Does an adult resent the giving up of children's toys? Does one whose vision has already glimpsed the face of Christ, which is the face of love, look back with longing on a slaughterhouse? No one who has escaped the world and all its ills looks back on it with condemnation. Yet the person that has escaped the world and all its ills must rejoice that he is free of all the sacrifice the world's values would demand of him. To the world's values, you sacrifice all your peace. To the world's values, you sacrifice all your freedom. And to possess the world's values, must you sacrifice your hope of happiness, which is heaven, and the remembrance of your Father's love, which is God's love. Who in their sane mind chooses nothing as a substitute for everything?
Wow. Most of us.
Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. What is the real meaning of sacrifice? Well, the real meaning of sacrifice is the cost of believing in illusions. The real meaning of sacrifice is the price that must be paid for the denial of truth. There's no pleasure in the world that doesn't demand this, for otherwise the pleasure would be seen as pain, and no one asks for pain if they recognize it. It's the idea of sacrifice that makes you blind. You don't see what you're asking for. And so you seek sacrifice in 1,000 ways and in 1,000 places, and each time believing your happiness is there, each time disappointed in the end. Seek but don't find becomes the world's stern decree, and no one who pursues the world's goals can do otherwise but seeking, not finding. You may believe this Course in Miracles requires sacrifice of everything you really hold dear. Sometimes it seems like practicing truth asks for a sacrifice of everything you hold dear. In one sense, this is true, because you do hold dear the things that crucify you, and it's the Course's aim to set you free. But don't be mistaken about what sacrifice means. Sacrifice means giving up what you want. And what is it, O teacher of God, is it that you want? You've been called by God, and you've answered. Would you now sacrifice that call? Few have heard the call of God as yet, and those who haven't heard the call of truth can but turn to you. There is no other hope in all the world that they can trust. There is no other voice in all the world that echoes God's. If you would sacrifice the truth, everybody else stays in hell. And if they stay in hell, guess what? You remain with them. Don't forget the sacrifice is total. There are no such things as half sacrifices. You cannot give up heaven, which is reality, which is happiness, which is love, partially. You cannot be a little bit in hell. The word of God, or the truth, has no exceptions. It is this that makes it holy, which means beyond the world.
It is this holiness that points to God. It is this holiness that makes you safe. It is denied if you attack any brother for anything. And if you attack any brother for anything, it is here the split with God occurs. It's a split that's impossible. It's a split that can't happen, but it's a split in which you will surely believe because you've set up a situation that's impossible. Mm-hmm. And in this impossible situation, the impossible can seem to happen. The impossible seems to happen at the sacrifice of truth. Teacher of God, don't forget the meaning of sacrifice. And remember what each decision you make must mean in terms of cost. This after God, this after love, this after truth. And everything is given you at no cost at all. Decide against God, decide against love, decide against the truth. You choose nothing at the expense of the awareness of everything. What would you teach? Remember, only what you would learn. For it is here that your concern should be. What is it you're going to teach? What are you going to demonstrate? Well, it's going to be only what you're going to learn. So atonement, which is the undoing of guilt, the correction of error, is for you. Your learning claims it. Your learning gives it. The world does not contain your healing. But learn this course and your healing and your happiness is yours. God holds out God's word to you because God has needs of teachers. God has need of demonstrators. What other way is there to save us?
Thank you,
Bill. I love hearing this stuff. All right, now I'm going to say some hard to believe, startling things. In order for this to make sense, you don't have to, but what would help you is for just a second, the Course says all you need to do to open up your mind to another level of consciousness is to just accept one thought, and this is it. What you know may not be all there is to know. Okay, that's the one thought the Course says. That's the only thought you have to accept to open your mind, that you don't know everything and I don't know everything. Okay, we're going to do that for a night. When we pretend for a night, we don't know everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, the other thing is to open your mind up to something new and different. New means different. So if you say you want to hear something new, you're saying you want to hear something different, I'm going to say something different. What's different is... Well, I get down to the paragraph, then I really do it. Okay, let's go back to paragraph one. Paragraph one says, okay, what's the meaning of sacrifice? Sacrifice is a big deal. Sacrifice, the Course says, is another term for loss. And it also talks about, it does seem to have meaning in the world. The idea that we could lose, the idea that we could sacrifice. It does seem like it has meaning here, but the real meaning of sacrifice is temporary. That means that when I give you this meaning, it's going to ultimately fade into nothingness. Because that's where it came from. So I'm going to give you an answer that you're going to need for a little while, but after a while you'll go beyond this little answer to something greater than this answer. Okay, so first thing to understand is that in reality there is nothing to learn. In your true state as an unlimited spiritual being, as an unlimited mind, as an unlimited consciousness, your true identity is all-knowing, a part of the all-knowing, has been extended from the all-knowing, so what you really are doesn't need to learn anything because it's part of an infinite intelligence. In reality, there's nothing to learn. Okay. He says, but... since we do believe in sacrifice and loss, and the Course says there's no such thing as a child of God experiencing sacrifice and loss, there's no such thing as a loving being experiencing sacrifice and loss, then this is an illusion. An illusion, the Course says, is something that we believe is true, that we want to be true so bad that we make it true. So what do? How do you get rid of the illusion? You replace the illusion with another illusion so that both illusions can disappear. The first illusion is that you could possibly lose or that you could possibly sacrifice as a child of God. Even though all of our perceptions and our past would say to us that's true, I can lose, other people can lose, we can sacrifice. Okay, but the Course says, well, that's the illusion. That's the illusion that has us fooled. The idea that there is loss. The idea that there is competition. The idea that there is not enough. The idea that we are separate. The idea that we are not one. That's the illusion. That is the illusion that creates pain. So the Course says the first illusion that must be displaced before we can get a new way of thinking is that it's a sacrifice to give up things that do not last.
The first idea that I got to let go of is that I'm losing when I lose something that won't last anyway. So every time you lose anything that does not last, you really have not lost anything real. Because nothing real can be threatened, and nothing unreal exists. And that's where the peace of God comes from. So the Course is saying that there is the reality of a spiritual awareness and a truth about us that's beyond what we know. That part of us can never lose. That part of us can never be hurt. We have lost sight of that part of us. And so the Course says that in order to start thinking in terms of love and to start thinking in terms of our new identity, then we have to let go of the idea that it's a sacrifice to give up things of the world. That I'm going to lose when I lose something that doesn't last, and I'm losing when I gain something that will never leave me, never end, and never hurt me. There is never a loss in losing something that makes you afraid. And there's always gain in being connected with something that you feel love and no fear with. There's no such thing as losing something that hurts you, and that's a sacrifice. But there are many of us that cry about things that hurt us when it leaves. Anybody ever had that experience? Okay. All right. One day you will surely go, when something leaves you, you will say, that was for my own best interest. That was for my own best interest. That was for my own best interest. Not only was that for my own best interest, but it opened the door for something better to come into my life beyond anything that I could ever imagine. I'm so glad you're gone, and I'll send you a card and some candy. Because you were so loving that you no longer love me, and you love me too much to stay around me, not caring about me and not wanting to treat me right. You love me so much you left me rather than continue to create pain for me. The saddest are the ones who don't treat people right and stay with them. The saddest is the person that stays with someone that they don't want to be with and who they resent and constantly argue with them, attack them, judge them, condemn them. If I'm so horrible, book up. If I'm so horrible, just go. Don't spend all your time trying to change me into something you want me to be. If I'm not what you want, just go. And then I'll get a chance to have the wonderful feeling of not losing anything. Because certainly if I lose something that doesn't love me, I haven't lost anything of value. Because the only thing of value is what loves me, and the only thing that's valuable is what I love. Anything else that isn't valuable. That's deep. So listen to this like a conversation that you agree with or don't agree with. And it'll make it be more fun to hear. Because this is some powerful stuff. I feel like what a lot of times takes away the excitement of the Course in Miracles is that we trick ourselves into not letting ourselves hear it. By trying to figure out what it's saying. But you do know what it's saying. You're so smart that I bet you do know what I'm saying when I say the first illusion that must be replaced is the idea that when you lose something that doesn't last and doesn't hurt you, that somehow or another you have lost something valuable. And he says, before you can let a brand new way of thinking take hold, you have to let go of the idea that it's a sacrifice to give up things of the world. And the Course describes the world. When it says it in this context, it's talking about things that can cause you fear or things that you can lose. All right? So the Course says it takes great learning, and that's the problem. Right? It says it takes great learning both to realize and to accept the fact that the world has nothing to give. So he's telling us that it's going to take a whole lot of learning for us to get to the point that we realize that fear has nothing to give. It's going to take a while to get that guilt has nothing to give. I've shared the Course 25 years, and what I'm trying to do is save you time by telling you what the Course says these particular words mean so that we can get the juice out of it. Yeah. So when the Course in Miracles says stuff like,
fear, it's talking about guilt, it's talking about anger, it's talking about lack, it's talking about attack. It's trying to get us to realize that hurting yourself has nothing to give. Sacrificing yourself has nothing to give. Hurting yourself has nothing to give. Keeping yourself in any kind of lack has nothing to give. Keeping yourself in miserable situations has nothing to give. Keeping yourself in conflicting, painful, unsatisfying, unfulfilling situations and circumstances, the world has nothing to give. Now, so if it's not really giving you anything real unless it's giving you love, he said, well, what can the sacrifice of the world mean? Does it mean that you have less because of it? There is no sacrifice in the world's terms that doesn't involve the body. Every time a person thinks about losing or sacrifice, they're always talking about something that involves the body. When people think about sacrifice, they're thinking about, are you telling me to sacrifice power? Are you telling me to sacrifice my opportunity to have fame and specialness? Are you telling me to sacrifice money, the idea of having lots of money? It seems like the spiritual truth is asking me to give up doing the wild thing. It's saying I can't get no physical pleasure. It's saying I can't get my freak on. It's asking too much. Don't let these walls fool you. It's just people inside of a building relating. You know, people get in church and I was like, oh my God, he didn't say get your freak on in church, you know. Like, that's the best place to get your freak on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that. I want to teach outrageous people who want to, who are open-minded and want to have fun, but want to hear another way of looking at it. And so I think if I be myself, that's the kind of people I'll attract. And everybody that's afraid of me, they'll just sacrifice me. And I'll be the better for it. You know what I'm saying? Because this, you know, 007, I'm going to heaven. You know what I'm saying? 2007, and heaven is a perfect, nothing but perfect joy. I want to be in a state of perfect joy. I've had some things happen that have been so wonderful that I literally tried to just make myself sick. Because I've used the idea that I can't be happy all the time and at peace and loved all the time as a way of life. So when things go really, really good for a long period of time, then it brings up stress in me because I know how to deal with problems and stuff not going right and disappointments, but I don't know how to deal with a lot of love all the time that's constantly happening that only increases. It makes me nervous. I get sick. My stomach hurts. My back hurts. I'm telling you, when it gets really, really good, sometimes you'll fool yourself by trying to hurt yourself so that you can get back to familiar territory. So the court says that now this is one of the deepest metaphysical sentences that I've ever heard. See if y'all can follow me on this one. It says, power, fame, money, and physical pleasure. It says, who is the hero to whom all these things belong? Can power, fame, money, and physical pleasure mean anything except to a body? See, it's my body. The court says, now, the court says you are not a body. 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 You are not a body.
Thank God.
You are not a body. You are not a body. You are not a body. You are not your 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 body. You have a body. You have a body. You have a body. You have a body. You are not your car. 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 You have a car. You have a car. You have a car. You have a car. You are not your body. You are not your body. You are not your lawnmower. You are not your refrigerator. You are not your TV. You are not your favorite chair. And you are not your favorite pair of jeans. You have jeans, you have a car, you might have a lawnmower, you might have a refrigerator, but you are not it. And in that same context, I'm also telling you, you are not your body.
Wow.
That's deep.
Yeah.
And then it says, now, why do I think I'm a body? That's a good one. Okay, you tell me I'm not a body. Why do I think I'm a body? Okay, he's going
to
tell us in the next sentence. It says, whenever you seek after power, fame, money, and physical pleasure in and of itself. In other words, there are some people who, like Paris Hilton is a great teacher.
Yeah.
Because Paris Hilton is famous for being famous. You've never really seen a Paris Hilton movie, a Paris Hilton artwork. You haven't seen it. Tell me one thing Paris Hilton has actually done other than been famous for being Paris Hilton. It's like a great example of seeking fame just for the sake of fame. If you want money, you go, boy, I want a lot of money. I'd like to have a lot of money. I'd like to have a lot of money. And then the truth says, what for? See, the spiritual question is what for? The ego question is how can I get money? The spiritual question is what for? I want to be powerful. What for? I want to be famous. What for? I want physical pleasure. What for? Why do you want to be touched? Why do you want to be kissed on? Why do you want to be held? Why do you want money? Why do you want fame? Why do you want power? See, the spiritual question is, what for? The ego question is, I just want it. I just want it. So the Course says, well, how does that have a meaning to anything except the body? Now, the Course says, when you seek after those things without seeking after the love that you really want and the peace that you really want and the awakening that you really want, it says when you do that, it says you associate yourself with the body. See, it's like the more that I want those things, the more that I think I'm a body. The more I want those things, the more I need you to touch me before I feel good, the more it convinces me I'm the body that you touched. So the Course says, when I seek after those things, then my mind is associating itself with the body, and when my mind associates itself with the body, it hides my spiritual identity, and then I lose sight of the fact that I'm really this unlimited spiritual being, this entity of consciousness and power. Now I think I'm just a body trying to make it before I die. So all of the seeking after the things of the world without wanting to use them and for love and to wake up and for joy only makes you believe you're a limited thing that dies one day.
Yep.
Thank you.
Now, but once you think you're a body that's out here just trying to get the power of money, fame, and physical pleasure before you die, he says, then confusion has occurred. I'm now confused. And he says, when confusion has occurred, then it becomes almost impossible for you to convince me that the world and the world's illusions of up and down, temporary happiness and joy is nothing. See, when the book tells us this kind of stuff, it's hard for us to accept it. You know why? Because we've already associated ourselves with those things and already have lost sight of our spiritual identity, and we already now think we're just human beings that's going to die one day. And I'm telling you, you're not a human being that's going to die one day. You're a spiritual being having a human experience, and you're now inhabiting this body to learn the true meaning of love, and you'll be in this body to learn the true meaning of love, who you really are. You are love. You're the greatest thing that was ever created. You were meant for more than trying to figure out how you're going to pay your MasterCard. I'm sorry. You have a higher purpose than trying to get somebody to call you back after a date. You got a higher purpose. That's deep. So the truth is, I've lost sight of my true identity. And so what happens when you lose sight of your true identity? He says, then it looks like it's a big sacrifice, what I'm telling you. Somehow or another, I believe that having to work for money, doing something that I don't like particularly, is somehow more valuable than getting in contact with the idea that I'm sustained by the love of God and finding myself provided for effortlessly and easily in ways that I could never even imagine. Do you know that?
That's a hard thing to do.
What's a hard thing to do?
Flip that switch over and give up, you know, going out there and trying to live by the world's rules and play that game and succeed on those terms and not do that instead of just sort of
It's much easier to live by the truth than it is to live by the world's rules. It's no comparison to how easy it is to live by the grace of God than to live by trying to make it on your own by your own wits. It's 10,000 times easier.
I meant the leap of faith.
That's only a matter of willingness. It just means you haven't reached your limit yet. When you reach your limit, you'll be surprised at how much easier to be to turn in this direction. You just haven't reached that point that you have said, I've had enough and really mean it. The person who has a problem with motivation is simply the person that has not reached their limit yet. But the once you reach your limit, then you become motivated. The once you become motivated, then the universe aids you in your awakening process, and you're no longer alone trying to do any of this, because what makes it difficult is the idea that you've got to figure out how to do this alone. That's why it's hard. So then it sounds like I'm just talking about something that you've got to figure out on your own to do. And then that seems to be more difficult, since I'm already having a hard time trying to figure out how to get my car to drive away with all that snow. I'm trying to find out how to get down the street without running over somebody. That seems like, so when you talk about being taken care of, it says, okay, how do you get to that point that you can make that leap of faith? The first thing you do, if you want to be able to make that leap of faith, is to recognize that you're not your body, you're free. So you have to make your freedom your number one priority, more important than money, more important than power, more important than fame, and more important than physical pleasure must become your love of your personal freedom to express who and what you are. Because every time you express your freedom, you're reminding yourself of who you are, which is free.
Right.
Every time you focus on power, money, fame, and physical pleasure, then you are focusing on what you think of as limitations, because I'm trying so hard to get it because I don't think it's there. Because if I really thought it was an abundance of it, I wouldn't even be worried about whether or not I had it right now.
Yeah.
So the mere fact that you're focusing on those things constantly make you believe that you're a limited being and that you're not being provided for by the universe. You're being provided for by your own wits. So it has your true identity as a child of God. Like, people wonder, well, why is it that I don't know all this powerful stuff I'm reading in these books? It's because of what you've learned and what you've experienced in the past. So how do I get past what I've learned and experienced in the past? Well, I have to learn something new. Right?
Yeah.
That's a matter of motivation. Now, am I saying that it's wrong for you to have pleasure? No. Am I saying it's wrong for you to have power? No. Am I saying it's wrong for you to be special? No. I'm not saying that any of that's wrong. What the Course is saying is, why do you want it? Because what you want it for is going to determine your experience of it. It's what you want it for that's going to determine whether you have pain with it or you have pleasure with it. Just wanting something to have it is only going to produce pain. Because possession is the law of fear. I've been in relationships with people who in my past, who wasn't showing me love and affection, mm-hmm. and wasn't showing me appreciation and attention, mm-hmm. they didn't want nobody else to. Either. Mm-hmm. They would actually get jealous about somebody else treating me better than they do. That's the most weird thing I've ever heard. I'm here with you every day. You're not appreciating me, you're not touching me, you're not taking me nowhere, you're not telling me how much I mean to you. And if somebody else speaks to me, you tripping?
Yeah.
That's insane. And when you begin to wake up, you start to realize how insane it is, and all of a sudden you get, you know what? This person doesn't love me. This person fears me. This person hates me.
Yeah.
Because you would only hate someone that you would limit and not give love to.
Wow.
I'm limiting you, and I'm not treating you right. I don't love you, and you're crazy if you think I do.
Yeah.
You would have to be as insane as me to stay with me, so don't work on me, work with on you, because you're crazy for being with me. You're the one who need help. That's what the Course is saying. The minute you put yourself in a situation that you are not loved and you don't have joy, then you need to see yourself as a patient, because you're the one that has something wrong with your mind to stay inside a situation that brings you no joy. Don't worry about the other person. You got the problem. That's deep. That's deep. This stuff is like, man. Then it says, people say that they're always dissatisfied and discontented. Talk to the average person, they always tell you what they wish were different. They don't like the job. It's okay. Then they don't go, how
enjoys your life. It's wonderful. It's fulfilling. I love my job. I love my maid. I love my house. I love my car. I love my clothes. I love me. I just fulfill. How many times you say that to ask somebody and they tell you that? It's very rare. It's very rare, right? Right? So that means that we are forever dissatisfied and discontented.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're forever dissatisfied and discontented, you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Being dissatisfied and discontented simply means you don't know what you really want.
Yeah.
If you're dissatisfied and you're discontented, it just means you don't know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Your dissatisfaction and discontentment is not coming from anything outside of yourself. Your dissatisfaction and discontentment is coming from you don't know what you really want. So you're trying some of everything, hoping that something works. Because I don't really know what I want. So I'm going to try a little of this, and I'm going to try a little of that, and maybe I'll try this person, and maybe I'll try that person. If they're breathing, that's good enough. They breathing a little bit, I'll come to them. They can spend time with me if you're breathing. I have very high standards.
Do you breathe?
It doesn't even have to be out of both nostrils. It can be. They have asthma. It's fine. Just breathe. And if you push, and if you really push me, I'll be with you even if you're dead.
Yeah. So if you know what you really want, you go inside.
To find out what you really want, you replace the first illusion that you sacrifice and that there's any such thing as sacrifice. I'm going to keep coming back to the section. I'm not going to go for an answer outside of what we're talking about tonight. Okay, so you can, I welcome the question, but I'm not going out of sight of what he's telling us tonight, which is there's no such thing as sacrifice. That you can only sacrifice something that wasn't real in the first place. You can only lose a relationship that wasn't real in the first place. You can only lose something that wasn't real in the first place. You can only lose something that wasn't real in the first place. You can never lose what's real. You can never lose what's real. If it's real, you will never lose that connection even if your body is in two different places. If it's real, I'll never stop loving you even if you go leave me and go love somebody else. If it's real, I never lose my love for you. And you never lose your love for me, if it's real. That doesn't mean our bodies may be together all the time, but I'll never stop wanting your happiness, even if it's with somebody else. If I love you, I want you to be happy. If it's real, I can't lose it. I have spiritual power. I have freedom. I have strength. But what makes me feel weak? Because I'm seeking after power, money, fame, and physical pleasure, and don't even know what I want it for. What does that do? That makes me forget that I'm a spiritual being. And now I'm just a person in the world trying to make it as best as I possibly can. Well, what happens if I've lost sight of my identity? Well, I feel dissatisfied and discontented. Why do I feel dissatisfied and discontented? It's not because of my childhood. It's not because of my boss. And it's not because of my mate. I feel dissatisfied and discontented because I've lost my awareness of my spiritual identity and who I am in truth. Now, the Course calls this self-condemnation. Do you know the Course actually calls being dissatisfied and discontented condemning yourself? That when I'm walking around dissatisfied all the time, it doesn't feel good, right?
Yeah.
But I'm condemning myself.
Yeah.
And so if I'm condemning myself, I need to realize that self-condemnation is nothing but a decision about identity. What does that mean? If I really knew who I was, I couldn't condemn myself. Because if I really knew who I was, I'd know that I'm so grand and glorious and beautiful and powerful that I would never do anything to hurt me. So the reason why a person hurts themselves is because they no longer know who they are. So discontent and dissatisfaction is nothing but a reflection of losing sight of the fact that you're whole, you're perfect, you're complete, and you're beautiful.
And I'm juicy.
And juicy. I don't want to leave juicy out. You juicy?
See, I am the sequel. I am juicy too.
Okay. Any other juicy people? All juicy people, raise your hand. Okay. People hoping for juice. Same people.
same people. Want to juice and I to juice. As a matter of fact, to juice or not to juice? That is the question.
In the answer.
Mm-hmm. So, who can tell me what self-condemnation is, according to this? Loss of identity. I've lost sight of who I really am. And what am I? Who am I really? I am not a body. I am free. That's deep. Freedom is of the mind. So your mind creates your physical reality. Everything that happens in your physical reality comes from within your own consciousness and your own mind. I'll say it again. Everything that comes to you as a result of your own vibration, your own consciousness, and your own magnetism. Everything that the only thing that happens to you is you. You are free. So you can tell when you're not being yourself, because when you're not being yourself, you feel discontented and dissatisfied. So feeling discontented and feeling dissatisfied is really a clue that you're not being true to who you are by not knowing what you really want. And you can't know what you really want if you don't know who you are. You see what I mean? Because your needs are always based on who you think you are. Mm-hmm. You can always tell who a person thinks they are and what they think they are by what they tell you they want and what they tell you they need. You tell me what you need, and you've also told me who you think you are. Mm-hmm. If I need you to tell me I'm a beautiful person in order for me to feel confident, then I know I'm insecure. Mm-hmm. See, I know who I am by what I need from you. If I need you to do something for me, then I believe I am lacking. Mm-hmm. See, I can tell what I think I am by what I think I need. If I think I need power, money, fame, and physical pleasure more than I need my own freedom and my own innocence and my own love, then I think I'm a body. Mm-hmm. If I want peace more than anything, then I believe I'm spirit and I love myself. So you can tell how much you love yourself by how much you put your peace above all things. If I put your peace before my peace, then I believe I am a sacrificer. That's my identity. I give up what I want for everybody else. So therefore, I believe I'm something that sacrifices. If I put my peace first, then I'm honoring myself. And not only am I honoring myself, I now have something to give.
Yes.
Because I can't give you what I do not have. And to think you're going to bring peace to somebody else before you bring it to yourself is the biggest illusion going in our society. Uh-huh. When you become peaceful, then you can give it. You can't be a miserable person going to make somebody else happy. It's amazing how many miserable people waiting for somebody to make happy. So far, you're showing me you're not too good at it. Because you're unhappy. So you already showing me you're depressed. You can't possibly give me happiness. But the reason why I'm depressed is because I'm not being given an opportunity to give you happiness. Mm-hmm. See, that's the game. But I wouldn't be depressed if I had you. The truth of the matter is, you wouldn't be depressed if you had you.
Yes.
You got to reverse it. Everything is just the reverse of what the world teaches. If you want to attract a lot of people, don't need people, love people.
Yes.
You know, you want that job, don't need a job. You want that money, don't need no money. Mm-hmm. Oprah could come to town and buy most of the restaurants in the city, but everybody would feed her for free because she doesn't need it. The world responds to no need. It doesn't respond to needy people. The more needy you are, the more people are repelled by you. It's when you don't need that they are magnetized to you and they're attracted to you. So if you're a needy person, it means you believe you need power, money, fame, and physical pleasure more than you need your relationship with your source. I'm looking for the rescuer.
I'm looking for the person that's going to ride up on that horse and swoop me up and take me away and make me happy and do things for me. That's what I'm doing. And that's why I need these really tight jeans. And they work. They're a husband and many a swooped away woman. But usually it doesn't work out. Because sooner or later, you know, you're going to take your jeans off. So. Like I've often said, the older I get, the more I'm looking for somebody who can love me beyond my body. Could you imagine performing a relationship with somebody and y'all both get together when you both have your bodies pretty much looking the way bodies look when they look very young? Okay? And you really think you love each other. You get together and you stay together and then you start to get older and you start to get older and one day the person looks at you and says, I'm going to leave you because you're uglier than you were when I first met you. You'd be devastated. Your body doesn't look the way that it did 20 years ago, so I'm not interested in you anymore. See, that's ego love. It's totally based on appearance. It's totally based on what you have. It's totally based on what they can get out of you. Real love would go, the older you get, the more beautiful you become to me. The older you get, the more beautiful you become to me. Because I love you, and what you are is so far beyond your body that, oh, it's you that I love. It's because it's been you that's been loving me all these years, not your body. Your body doesn't even know me. Your body has never even seen me. Your body doesn't make any evaluations about me. Your body doesn't care about me. You do. And because you love me, and you've always loved me, you look more beautiful than me every day. See, that's what love's going to say when you're 80. Fear is going to say, I don't see any use for you anymore. And that's what a person is opening themselves up for when they don't allow themselves to cultivate true spiritual value in terms of who and what they really are. Funny thing about it is that when you love somebody, it's actually impossible for them to be ugly. It's no such thing as loving an ugly person, because there is no ugly person when you love them. When you love them, they look beautiful to you. When you love them, you will never cross your mind. Have you ever been with somebody and when you broke up with them, you realized that you didn't like the way they looked? Or all of a sudden there was something about them and you go, oh, I don't know how I ever got involved in the first place. See, the ones the love left, the ones the appreciation left, then it's just an empty shell for you to criticize, judge, and don't like. Mm-hmm. So love is what makes us beautiful. That's why you want to become more and more loving, more and more loving, because you're going to look more and more beautiful to all those around you, and you know how people respond to something that somebody they see as beautiful. They automatically treat them right. Because they're just dazzled. So to give up somebody that doesn't really appreciate you, to give up something that isn't real, is not a loss. But that's the hardest thing in the world to learn when you've already forgotten who you really are, and somehow you think you're not enough and you're not beautiful anymore. Now this next paragraph is one I won't get to because it's 4 minutes to 8. I know. For some people, it's been 3 years. Uh-huh. Some people, okay, thank God. Thank God. And then there are some people that's going, no, that was quick.
That was quick.
Who in the quick field? Yeah, it was quick, wasn't it? Yeah, because you know why? Because the minute that you're being looked at with the eyes of love, being reminded that you are love, you go into a timeless space where time no longer applies, and bam. See, that's why you want to get in touch with your real identity as an eternal being. You know why? Because the happier you become, the faster time flies. Just like when you're having a good time, time passes just like that. So the faster you love, the quicker things are going to seem to happen. So you have to be in touch with the fact that you have a timeless nature. You'll never let yourself be truly joyous, because it'll look like your experience is over just like that. So, if you want to slow things down, be miserable. Okay? So, would you acknowledge yourself for even hearing that much, for even letting that much come through you? Could you acknowledge me for having the nerve enough to say it? Hey! All right. That takes guts.
All right, we're going to do the love offering. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Woo! Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You all are just total blessings. Here you go. I really want to thank you all for coming out tonight, considering the fact that it's cold as I don't know what, and the streets are really weird right now. And so for you to be dedicated and committed enough to come out in weather like this to hear this, that says a lot about you. And how much you appreciate hearing loving thoughts about you, because I promise you, if you come here, I'm not going to condemn you. If you come here, I'm not going to say anything other than you deserve to be loved, and you are lovable, and you are loving, and we are trying to let go of everything that keeps us from appreciating that and letting us have it. So it takes a lot of love for yourself to show up where you're going to be told that you're loving. A great line from the Course goes something like this. It says, what you want to be is what you think you are. I say it again. What you want to be is what you already think you are. So if you are already saying, I want to be more loving, I want to be more giving, I want to be free, I want to be abundant, I want to be happy, then you are. There's already a part of you that believes that is true about you, or you wouldn't even be sitting here. So it's not even about trying to make yourself believe that about yourself. I claim that you already believe that about yourself. That's why you're here. What you're trying to do is remind yourself and then let go of the blocks that keep you from remembering it all the time. And I'm dedicated and committed to that purpose this year with all of us. Because all we have to do is remember it and we'll attract it back to us. That's it. So, you know, this is powerful stuff we're doing. This is some cool stuff that we're doing. I'm excited. And the part of you that doesn't love you will do everything in its power to keep you away from someone that's reminding you that you do. It'll keep you as far away from here as it possibly can, so you can go back into the sleep of forgetfulness and struggle and sacrifice. And I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. If the streets are ridiculous, and they're saying stay inside on Sunday for some reason, they're just warning you, stay inside. Because I would stay inside. Now, I'm supposed to be speaking Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. As well as the 1 o'clock class. But if it's going to be hazardous to this body that I'm not, then I'm not going to do that. But it'll be only if it's just that bad. And you know when it's ridiculous when you look out there and everybody's slipping and sliding and there's ice and snow everywhere. But I hope my preference would be to be here. Because I love being with you and I love sharing this with you. This is my greatest joy. Yeah, it's hearing something different in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so got some extra CDs for sale if you want about asking for what you deserve. Mm-hmm. It's important. Mm-hmm. If, you know, I deserve what I receive. You deserve what you receive. Mm-hmm. That's what we got. You deserve it. And so abundance takes care of you, and abundance may do it in the form of money, but it may also do it in other ways. But we are abundant, and abundance is our natural state. It's unnatural to be in lack. That's not a natural law of the universe. That's an unnatural law. So don't feel guilty about abundance. Don't feel guilty about experiencing pleasure. Don't feel guilty about being treated like you are the most important thing in the world. Don't feel guilty about feeling powerful. Those are just glimpses of your natural state and who you really are and what you really deserve. When you're having a really great day, that's just a preview of coming attractions. That's it. It is time for some new movies in the house. It is time for some new movies.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you get a chance to finish that whole section, read that whole section about what's the meaning of sacrifice. Yeah. And love to have you on my mailing list. I want to make sure that I can get in touch. It's been great. I've been getting some interesting. I got a subscription today from a person that was living in Connecticut for a whole year. And I was like, wow. I was like, okay, all right. So what Spirit is telling me is that it's the internet blood. It goes around the world. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what might happen. You don't know who might hear you and go, you know what? I want to bring that guy here. You know, you don't know. You got to put yourself out there. You got to put what you do out there. You got to let people see you. Let them see you. Don't be whatever the world told you to be. Don't be whatever society tells you to be. Honor everybody around you by letting them meet you. Your authentic self, not who somebody told you you ought to be. You know, because you have a special function and a special gift that nobody else but you can do in this whole game that we're playing here. And all of us need you to play your part. And you playing your part is nothing but you allowing yourself to be happy in the way that meets your heart and your expression. And your right partner or friends, that's just somebody who's encouraging you to be more yourself, not trying to get you to change. Because there's nothing wrong with you. Just because you don't want to do it the way somebody else wants you to do it, then that means something's wrong with you? That's not true. That's not true. There's nothing wrong with you. This is this personality stuff. Like, the one thing, you beat somebody upside the head. But I'm talking about personality stuff. It's because you like certain things. You like to express yourself in a certain way. Something's wrong with you, but what you're doing is not harming anybody. But something's wrong with you. Don't fall for that. There's nothing wrong with you. You're innocent. I need you the way you are, not the way something or somebody else is trying to make you be. I'd love to meet the people in this class and meet them instead of meeting what they think they ought to be like. I want to see the real person in you. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I want to practice with you. I'm going to practice with me. It takes guts. Sometimes it's scary standing up here, going ahead and say, okay, I'm just going to put myself out here and see what happens. Mm-hmm. That's scary, but guess what? It's paying off beyond my wildest dreams. Mm-hmm. Way beyond what I ever dreamed of. Be you. I want to see you. Be you. I want to see you, be you. I want to see you, be you. I want to see you, be you. You know you can be you with me because I'm not going to judge you and attack you for being who you are. I know why we hide, because we've been judged before. But now, since you're not going to be judged, there's no need to hide. That's good. That's good stuff, right?
That's
good stuff. And then when you see it's okay to be you, you change your vibration. Your vibration, when you yourself, your vibration immediately rises. And then you expand. As soon as you rise and expand, your reach becomes great, and you just begin to attract good and abundance and love and power to you from all aspects of the universe, because it's been wanting to get to you all the time. Anyway, you were the only one hanging everything up. You don't hear what I'm saying? Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Are you game enough to give it a try? Are you game enough to give it a try?
Yeah.
Go out of here tonight, and we're gonna say, I decide for God, and I decide for love. I decide for God, 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 I decide for love. I know the past is over, it can turn.
touch me not. The past is over, it can touch me not. The past is over, it can touch me not. The past is over, it can touch me not. My past is over, it can touch me not. My past is over, it can touch me not. Now, when you think about the past, when you're thinking about the past, the Course says you should look at it this way. The only thing that happened in the past that was real was the loving part. So you want to go, only the loving thoughts are true. Only the loving thoughts are true. Only the loving thoughts are true. Now, the next time you get angry when you go out in the world, the next time you are in the world and you want to raise hell, the next time you are in the world and you want to raise hell, and you get upset and you're getting mad, you know it's really about you forgotten who you really are. It means you've forgotten who you really are. It means you've forgotten who you really are. It means you've forgotten who you really are. So when you get angry, there's a lesson from the Course called Lesson 5. I want you to think about Lesson 5. This is Lesson 5. We want to say it till we can hear it. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am never upset for the reason I think. Thank you for coming. I love you. I appreciate you. And don't forget, you are extra juicy.